Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move!
LeBron James with no regard for human life. Final seconds. Bryant for the win.
Bang! Iverson against Gill, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win.
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What's good, everyone? Nick Engvall here. Got a special guest with me today. If you're in the Sneaker History Discord, if you've been around for a while, you know this man because, well, one, he's been on the show before. We did some stuff, wow, like 5 years ago now, probably 2021 probably was when we were doing that stuff. JT is with me, aka the Sneaker Savant. We're going to talk about all the crazy shit that's going on in the sneaker world today. What's good, man? How you been?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself, Nick?
Trying to figure it out, you know? Still trying to figure it out, but
We just had like a 20-minute conversation before this about how rough the world is going and the sneaker world is going. So that's kind of a loaded question.
Yeah, definitely. So we were just talking about, we're recording on what is this, Friday, February 13th. And I was saying that I just don't spend much time on Instagram. I'm trying to really commit to Substack because it feels more authentic to me. It feels like I'm not chasing stuff. I can write what I want to write. I can post my pictures, all that stuff. But I hopped on Instagram this morning and saw all this chaos from the Foot Locker release. I don't even know what shoes people were going crazy for, but there's people getting trampled. There's people fighting. Like, it was just like, I don't know, man. It feels like we've already passed this point in sneaker culture where it's like what is coming out that people care about that much? It's not like Galaxy Foams. You're making $1,500 off a pair of shoes that first weekend or whatever. But well, as I was saying it, I was telling JT, I'm like, man, you know, people are in the comments saying you're only going to make $50-$100 off of flipping a pair of shoes. And I'm like, well, $100 for me right now would go a long way. So I guess like maybe I'm in a better place and like not willing to fight somebody for $100. But, you know, the economy is like, it's so weird that we got the economy is so rough on a lot of people. And then you got Jordan Brand bringing back the Bin series, which is totally weird. But then there's also like, what, Swarovski, Ja, Air Force Ones. I just saw Klay Thompson has like almost like a Swarovski vibe shoe from Anta to celebrate his new deal with Anta. Like, there's a bunch of like baller, like, I feel like we're like big timers, you know, like that like 2000, whatever that was, six era of balling. But like, it's also the same time when like nobody had money to buy half the shit anyway, you know? And I feel like we're just repeating ourselves 20 years later. I don't know, man. It's weird, but.
Well, the diamond encrusted, remember the diamond encrusted Iversons?
Yeah. Day, right? Yeah.
That one single pair. But I mean, you and I are absolutely past the idea of a sneaker riot. We're absolutely past the idea of standing in line for some sneakers. Hell, yeah. I'm even past the idea of clicking multiple boxes on a screen for a pair of sneakers at this point. Like, I'm fucking done with that shit. Yep. So, I mean, like, we are done. The kids are just getting started, right?
Yeah.
And as far as, like, the $100, I mean, you could almost just say, like, you could almost title any podcast at this point, just title it In This Economy. I mean, it's insane. Like, $100, that, I mean, I've been selling sneakers on eBay for 20 plus years. $100 used to be like my basis. Like, I wouldn't even fuck with the pair of shoes if I couldn't make $100 on it. And now it's like $10, $20, negative 50, negative 100. So $100 bucks is still good money in my opinion, but absolutely for me, absolutely not worth that, you know, standing in line dealing with that shit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. I'd rather just go out and grab breakfast with you and talk about a release across the street than actually line up for shoes at this point. You know, like,
well, what are you even going to do with another pair of shoes? Are you actually going to wear them? I mean, like, how many pairs of shoes do you have? How many pairs do we need?
Yeah, we definitely don't need as many as we have. Like, I've been slowly trying to get rid of some stuff, but it's also like so much of what I collected over the years. I was just telling someone else this. So much of what I collected over the years was so personal because it was like I knew the person that worked on it. I knew somebody that did it at one of the brands, or like I remember, you know, lining up together with people or whatever. And like that is the problem is like that can always be repeated, right? Like if you always know people that work in the sneaker world and you're passionate about this stuff, you always connect with people that are doing cool shit, you know? So it's like, do I need any more of anything? Not really. I'm trying to like stop myself a little bit with all that stuff. And I haven't bought a pair of shoes in almost 2 years, like going on 2 years now. So
jeez.
Like that said, one of the things that I know you and I are very similar on is like the chase and the hunt for shoes is what I still love. Like I could spend every day wandering through thrift stores, old sneaker shops, old sporting goods stores, just seeing what's out there because I love that part of it more than anything. And it doesn't happen as much as it used to in like the wow factor size. But, you know, like you and I could get excited about some pretty basic shoes. And I wonder if that is going to transfer to like the younger generation. That's where I feel like there's a disconnect.
Yeah, so what I've kind of started doing was like, I realized I can make a story out of anything. I can make any shoe matter to me. I chuckled there a minute ago because I was watching one of these people who are kind of like us on Instagram explaining the basis of their ID that they made. And like, I didn't want to say anything. I didn't say anything, but this person, the furthest fucking reach you could possibly imagine. Like I chose this blue because it matched the blue of my grandfather's pool. You know, I chose this color green because even though in the winter the grass looks this color, in the, you know, waning months of September, it looked like this. And I'm just like, Jesus fucking Christ, like, take it easy. It's not that deep. So I can fully understand how you could tie a story to every single thing. And we become kind of nostalgic and we become almost emotional in our attachment to these things, I think, because, I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, I'm like, I'm scared to death and shit. So I just think about like, you know, like this is all just my attempt to kind of claim my legacy in the world if I have one.
Yeah.
Right. So what I've noticed I've been doing though lately is that instead of just buying all the interesting shit that I find, I filter it down to somebody who I think really wants it.
Yeah.
Like I'll find something that I think is dope and I'll hit up my buddy that I met at, you know, at the Portland thing, like the PDX thing. I've been hitting up all these dudes and saying, hey, I think you'd like this. Hey, I think you'd like this. Hey, I think you'd like this. And some of them are like, wow, this is incredible. I can't believe you sent me this, you know? And I'm just like, what the fuck am I going to do with it? I'm trying to get rid of 300 pairs of shoes. What do I need another shoe, pair of shoe that I'm just, you know, I legitimately, even the shoes I love, I don't even want them anymore because like it's almost representing a part of me that's just like, it's getting old and it's going away.
That's like, fair, man. I think that's a part of it. You know, it's funny you say that though, too, because this morning, Andrew texted me, Sneaker Preservation Society on Instagram, texted me about the, so we have gone back and forth tons over like some of the motorsport shoes. Cause obviously like I'm a big car person and like that is kind of like a lane that I've like fully committed to years back and like collected a bunch of weird shit that people just don't even know exists. But he texted me this morning with the Jordan, what is it? The XI Racing or 23 Racing, has like a Jordan 9, like race boot shoe thing. And it's one of those shoes where, like, I don't even have a pair of Jordan 9s, right? I have the very first pair of Jordans that I got was charcoal 9s. That's the only pair of Jordan 9s that I have now. And I've had maybe three or four pairs throughout the years. But I'm one of the weird people that loved baseball. So that was my favorite Jordan, like, you know. And so seeing that was like, okay, cool. This is, like, definitely something I would be interested in. I'm not going to spend 200 and whatever. I don't even know if it's a release or if it was just for the team or whatnot. But like the other part of what continues to happen is like, oh, that moment is gone. Like I saw it. I shared that moment with Andrew. Like, I'm sure I'll have some other conversations with people about it, and then we'll forget about it. And that's also kind of why I've been leaning into the Substack stuff more, because one, like, I definitely don't need to own all the pairs that I love. Like, I'm mm-hmm. trying to be better about that, but I do like the idea of archiving them somehow. And I originally thought that that's what I was going to do with Instagram. And then, so I don't know if you know this, but let me rewind that a little bit. So did you meet Aaron, my buddy Aaron, who's up there in Sacramento? He works, he's been on the Exhaust Notes, like the Formula One podcast with us, but he and I are really close friends. We've known each other for almost 30 years now. And we built a blog back in, like, I don't even remember, 20 years ago, at least, F5 to refresh, because we were like, let's just pump out news, talk mm-hmm. about all the things we like, the collectible shit, the car stuff, the sneaker stuff. We just kind of like hype beast, but on like hyperdrive, so to speak. And we ended up doing a bunch of like contract work for a handful of brands, but specifically with Foot Locker, we helped them with building out Sneakerpedia. And Sneakerpedia was like the first time that it was like, I had already got sneaker history as a domain, but I wasn't trying to develop anything. I was really just trying to blog, let people that cared more than, I didn't want to get censored by the people I worked with, basically. So I was like, I'm going to start this blog as sneaker history, and I'll tell stories, and people that I knew would write on there sometimes. And, you know, never really took it too seriously, but just kind of like a personal place for me to talk about shoes. And then I never really went to like the archive aspect of it, which is a thing I wish existed still. But then Sneakerpedia came along, Foot Locker put it together, and like between like European Foot Locker and New York City teams. And we basically ran their blog, ran their social, and like essentially built out this cool little community, had a few events, and it was like formulaic in the way that you took your photos. We would like basically surface the photos that looked the best. We would highlight them on social and blogs and all this stuff. It was fun, but it kind of like always sticks in my head as to like, that would be like a cool thing for me. Like, I want to see the weird mm-hmm. stuff that's not out there. Like, I don't care about like, this is long-winded, but like the Jordan 6 that just came out, the infrared salesman sample, right?
Yeah.
I love, that's one of my favorite shoes. I don't have any sixes right now, but like the infrared six, black infrared six specifically, is like, you know, it's MJ to me. That's like quintessential. It's kind of like white cements. I see the dunks. I see the playoffs. I remember mm-hmm. watching it as a kid. The salesman sample is interesting, but it was interesting 20 years ago because mm-hmm. it was different than the original. It's not interesting to me on the same level. Would I take a pair if I came across one for $20 or $50 or something? Maybe. But like, I'm not trying to spend a bunch of money on a shoe that has this really nuanced story. But I would love to see that lined up with 20 other samples, all the things that came out through the years. So I can just be like, yeah, this is such a cool shoe, and here's all the different things about it, right? So like, in my mind, the archiving aspect of all of this has always been something. The problem is I'm not an organized person by any means. I have things all over the place. I'm, you know, like when I work with a team of people and have like the accountability and the back and forth and that kind of stuff, all good. When I'm doing stuff on my own, I'm so lackadaisical in the way that I do things, where like I might run off, like even this week, I'm going to do 4 or 5 podcasts this week. Last week I had to bail on you because I messed some things up pretty badly. I'm not going to get too deep into it, but like basically there was like 2 days where I had made some changes, and like the website was down, the emails were down, and like I'm working on something that like I had to have things turned in for, and I didn't realize it until like literally like a half hour before we were supposed to record. And like, dude, this is like my only income right now. So I'm like, fuck, like I about lost it. And that's where my problem is. Like, I'm very scatterbrained, but I'm like all in on things for very like short bursts of like get a bunch of cool shit done, get excited about it. And then I got to take a break and go for a walk, go work on the car, do something that breaks me from that, because I get into my head about it. So all that said, like the Substack thing has been really interesting because I've been connecting with people that care so much more than just like go buy this thing, right? Like they care about telling the story about a shoe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes, yeah, like people can be like, you know, tying things together just to force a story. But like, it's been really cool because I've been learning stuff on there that I just didn't know in like the 20 years of doing this shit. Or I mean, shit, I've been like obsessed with sneakers for, I mean, 40 years. I'm going to be 47 this year. So like, you know, my brother and I were drawing Air Maxes and Nike Runners when I was 6-7 years old living in Oregon. So, but like, yeah, it's crazy to say all that. It's like, it just feels so different. And I hope that it's something that doesn't turn out to be the same thing as like Twitter getting scooped up and ruined, Instagram turning into like just a death sentence, like all of it.
Well, the Substack thing, I've been kind of going in and out of the Substack thing for years as well. Right.
Yeah.
And it's weird because I have like, ever since I started, I think I've had like 1,000 followers, and that's my list. And it hasn't really gone up. It hasn't really gone down, despite the fact that I didn't write for like 18 months one time. It didn't even go down, and yeah, it didn't really go up. And it was just, it's a much different kind of relationship I think you have with your Substack readers as opposed to your other audience members. So instead of it just being like followers, it's like this gets delivered directly to, you know, the person who actually wants to read it. So it's, for those who don't know, I basically decided that Instagram is, I was talking with Nick about this a little bit earlier, but I feel like social media is kind of on its way out, especially with all of the stuff that's going on with AI and how, I mean, I can't even tell.
Yeah.
I would be shocked if I could tell what was actually AI anymore. And yep. not to say it's like bad, but it no longer feels authentic. And I have found myself almost dumbing down my own shit to try to reach real people. And you know, all the stuff that goes along with that is like, okay, so say I got, which I do, I got like 17,000 Instagram followers. When I post, I see that maybe 500 of my followers actually see my shit. And, yeah, and I don't know if that's Instagram's fault per se. I mean, like, it's a very crowded space. But like, I remember when I first got on Instagram 12, 13 years ago, I remember seeing an ad never. And then when ads first started creeping up, I actually like did my own study and I found that I would see an ad once every 15 posts. If you go now and you look at Instagram, I'm almost certain it's one out of every two or one out of every three posts you see an ad.
Yep.
Now, I mean, like, I understand Instagram has to make money. Instagram is using us as a product, right? Because we provide the content. But I don't know about you. I'm not getting paid on that shit.
Nope.
I mean, like there's guys with millions of followers who are not getting paid any of this. Yet we're giving our hard-earned time and money into this thing. And again, this is the internet. It's great because it gives us this ability to reach so many more people than anyone has ever reached. But I did a brief calculation the other day that basically said that for the last 13 years, if I spend 30 minutes a day on Instagram, that's 264 days of my life that I've spent on Instagram. And I know I've spent well more than 30 minutes a day on Instagram on half those fucking days. Yep. 265 days in 13 years. That's almost a whole fucking year that I've been staring at this goddamn screen trying to figure out, you know, how to get more followers, how to get more money. And it's all born. The funny thing is, it's like, we consider ourselves lucky because we have a thing that we're passionate about, which is sneakers. Like, I almost feel bad for the people who don't have a passion, but then when I think about 265 days, I'm the fucking idiot, right? Like, I'm the idiot who wasted a year of my life talking about sneakers all goddamn day instead of just enjoying my life with people. Like, it's insane. Yeah. But you know, all that to say, like, it's afforded me some pretty dope opportunities and things that I'm really interested in. And I'm really glad I got to be a part of, you know. So this past year, 2025, when I really started coming out on Instagram, 2021, 22, I got invited to all kinds of things, but I just wasn't able to go for, you know, whatever reasons. In 2025, I decided I was going to go to everything that I was invited to, and I got to see a whole lot of cool shit last year just because I decided to start saying yes to these things. So wouldn't have been there without Instagram. There's a lot I'm thankful to Instagram for, but there's also, like, at a certain point, I'm 45 years old now. I got to figure out, I don't have 265 more days to waste, scrolling fucking Instagram.
Yeah, man. I want to talk to you about obviously your trip up to Portland. But it made me think, like, so I spend probably, I'd have to like calculate this, and I probably should, but it will probably make me throw up and die. Like, I will literally throw up my entire insides. I probably spend a couple hours a day on eBay still. Like, that is my like
vice.
Vice is not a strong enough word, man. Like, I will like hunt down the stupidest, weirdest things from, like, nostalgia driven stuff. Like, I mean, you know, being from Sacramento, Tower Records with my family was a big deal. I used to spend days in Tower Records every summer, flipping through magazines, reading books. Like, the people at Tower knew me, like, and I was like 17, you know. But, like, you know, old Tower artwork is one of my favorite, like, rabbit holes. And I'm like constantly on there, and it's like I see the same shit almost every day. Old sneakers is always fun because it's just like, I just like the weird stuff that I can connect. And, you know, if in the like Instagram driven stuff or in like the community, it's like, you know, we're usually connecting a release shoe to that story. And, like, you know, it's like, oh, we're all reminded of, like, this particular shoe, and nothing against that. But, like, I'm not buying the new shoes. So, like, I don't really care about the connection to the old versions or the story that got it there as much as I used to. And I still love hearing people get excited about it. And when brands do good shit, it's like I get excited to see the brands, because usually it's like I'm thinking about the people behind the scenes getting to have those moments of, like, oh, cool, we got people talking about what we're doing. But then, like, for me, it's like it's those obscure shoes, like, you know, my brain is not working to think of a particular shoe, but, like, you know, I know you and I have a similar passion for Tupac and his music. And I've gone down rabbit holes looking at the shoes he's worn, like I know you have. And, like, those are the things where I'm like, I'll do that for all sorts of different things. And then next thing you know, I'm like, I mean, I'm not buying hardly anything right now. But, like, I have so much fun in that, like, just discovery of, like, oh, shit, I didn't know that, you know? Like, and, like, it's weird because eBay became the place that I just go to for knowledge that, like, because I guess I got to seek it out there versus other places where it's, like, it's all in your face. Here's everything you need to know, you know? And now, you know, we're going to get you hooked into the doom scrolling, because now that we've got the information to you or whatever. But I digress. Like, I want to hear about your PDX trip. Like, that is such a cool, you know, I was so lucky to get to go on that trip 2024, but, like, I guess to give a little context, there's just so many cool people going to this that share this crazy passion. And, you know, I think, you know, for me, I've always kind of said, it's just about the people. Like, we've known each other for 5-6 years. I've never once asked you what pair of shoes you're wearing right now. Like, I don't care about that shit. You know, like, yeah, we talk about sneakers, but we talk about all the other shit more than sneakers most of the time, you know? So how did that all happen? How did it all come together? And tell us about, like, you know, your journey. Because people can go look on your Substack, the Sneaker Savant on Substack, and they can check it out, too, because you got some pictures and stories up there as well.
Yeah, that... there was a tie back there that you got, which was kind of funny, because you said you're on eBay. What I learned when I was at PDX is that everyone in PDX is still using eBay as a primary source of interest and fun in the product, which I thought was really interesting because a lot of the young people I meet, they're like, what's eBay? You know, it's like, that's our fucking church. That's our religion. Like that is like everything to us. And so to meet other guys who are like still giving each other tips on search, like, I thought I was like just way so old school, but to know that there's a whole crew of guys that do this too, like, yeah, absolutely. eBay's our, it's our church, man. So like a lot of people with the PDX thing, I think the first time I saw it happen, I was really happy for Andrew and the guys that kind of made it happen. I think it was like 5 or 10 dudes that went the first time. And I was like, that's really cool that they got to hang out with, you know, these guys and just talk about this shit. And then the second time it happened, I think there was like 20, 30 people. I think you were involved in that one as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember this is the fucked up part, but I was just like, Jesus Christ, why didn't I get a fucking invite? It's fucking assholes. You know, but it was like, it's really dumb because I know that there's got to be thousands of guys out there saying that same thing. And it got me to a point where I was just like, okay, well, maybe this thing just isn't for me. And that's fine, right? I'm not the guy who geeks out on designers. I don't geek out on designers. Like, I think it's great that you designed it, but I'm much more into the cultural impact that this had than I am about the guy who designed it. And absolutely nothing wrong with that, but I can pinpoint who wore what when. I cannot pinpoint who designed what when.
Yeah,
what
admittedly, I lean more towards how you are with that than all those guys. Like, I know, you know, maybe 30-40% of the designers, and like, those guys know, they know so much about that side of things. But
that's great.
Yeah. Like I'm totally on the other side of it. I'm like, oh, you know, like that was on like, you know, King T was wearing those Air Max 90s on his album cover, you know, like that kind of shit was the stuff that I cared about.
So we filtered it through our pop culture thing.
Yeah.
Right. And I just decided like, okay, this thing's probably not for me. And that's fine. Cause I like these guys. They're all good guys, you know, and I don't think that they were thinking about me like, oh, let's not invite that asshole, but whatever. I digress. I was just like, it's not for me. And then one day I was chatting with InStyle Shoes on Instagram and he said something that I took a little sideways, but I don't think he meant it sideways. I was just kind of in my feelings about something. And then I was like, yo, you maybe want to jump on the phone sometime? Or no, he brought it up to me. He said, let's jump on the phone sometime. So we jump on the phone and I'm like, he brought up the PDX thing. We were kind of talking about different misunderstandings we had online with different people. And it was really like a vulnerable conversation. And he was like, so what did you think about the PDX thing? I said, well, I just think it probably wasn't for me. He's like, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, I'm sure like a lot of people were upset that they didn't get invited. I was also one of those people who just thought maybe I should have been invited. And then I just realized like maybe you shouldn't have. He said, oh, no, you belong there. And I said, He said, no, trust me, you belong there. And I didn't really take much. I didn't really like take it. I was, you know, that's very nice of you to say. Thank you. You know, let's keep on chatting online. And then like a month or two later, I got an invite from Andrew. So it wasn't even Tom who invited me, but it was Andrew. And he sent an email to a few people and I responded like immediately. He said, do you want to come? I said, absolutely. And they said, okay, we need this by this date. And I was like, here, you could have it today, you know, as far as whatever the fees for the things were. And that was that. So I told my family, which was interesting because I think my family for a long time, they just thought it was just like this little pet project thing. They didn't think it was really like...
I think my family still thinks that, man.
Oh, absolutely. They think it's like this little kind of bullshit hobby thing, which is fine. Yeah. It's cool. Yeah. But like once they actually saw what it was and getting invited to this thing and being there and almost like it felt like it was an honor and it felt like I was validated by the guys who I respect most in the world just by being there, which was I could not replicate that feeling in anything I've done professionally, right? I've gotten promotions. I've done well in, you know, some of these places I've worked at. And I mean, fuck those promotions there. Like, this is like something that I'm interested in. This is something I care about. These are people that I think are really interesting people with really interesting points of view. And they wanted me to come. They wanted me to come. You know, it was really funny because like I recognized a lot of the people there. But I never really showed my face on IG, so no one knew who I was really.
Yeah.
Except for like a handful of people, and just kind of introducing myself to them. They're like, oh, you're that guy. You're that guy. You're that guy. And, you know, I got a face for writing on Instagram. Like, I don't have a face for like posting shit. So it was just cool to connect those dots and meet some of those guys, you know. And
yeah, man.
Like some of the guys that I ended up hanging out with the most were guys that I didn't really like I didn't really know of them, but just like Big Macadocious, I hung out with him a lot. Terrence Keller, I hung out with him a lot. Skoola was a lot of fun. I mean, these dudes, it was just, I had good conversations with like everyone. I just tried to be open. Matt Johnson Shuhaf, I had a good time with. Like,
nice. Yeah. It was really cool. A different crowd this time, that time too. Like, but I had the same experience, man. And like, people see what I've done and the work that I do, because I'm always like working for a brand or a retailer or whatever, right? Yep. Like throughout the years. And the best part, I mean, that going to that in 2024 was like the same experience you had. Like, you're standing in this room with all these crazy shoes, samples, weird stuff, like just unlimited stories, right? And like a group of people that told the stories for you know, all the brands, and a group of people that took it and translated it and created their own stories and interpreted those stories for other people, and like are still doing that stuff, you know? And like, I remember just standing in that room just thinking like, I don't, you know, like 7-year-old me drawing sneakers didn't even know that you could have a job that wasn't shoe designer, mm-hmm. or Michael Jordan, you know, like, or salesperson, you know, like I knew what those three things were, but the rest of the people on the Nike side that are supporting that whole thing and giving the tours and, you know, like introducing you and talking through so many things, you know, you don't know those people, right? Like, we all know that Nike's a big company, but you don't know what those jobs are until you're much mm-hmm. older. And you're like, yeah, I've had these corporate jobs and I understand that there's 50 people behind every decision and all these things.
Yeah.
But like, even for me, who's like, you know, there's like only a handful of moments that I can think of where I'm like, I've got to like pinch myself to like make sure this is real kind of moments, you know? And it's like, that was definitely, you know, a top five experience for me all time, mm-hmm. you know, because I've put so much into sneakers and connecting with people. But it was like also to what you were saying, like there's so many people there that I just respect what they do. I never get the chance to talk to people like that. It's rare that I get to, you know, like I've talked to people on the podcast and stuff, but like I'm also craving the in-person stuff. So like that mm-hmm. whole experience was like, you know, just incredible. And like I'm so glad you got to have that too, because I think like, admittedly, I think I probably felt the same way when I saw the first group went, right? Because like most of those people in the first group are like close friends of mine, known them for a long time. And I also know that like they're trying to do something that's much bigger than what they can do. You know, they don't have, look, you get, we like this comes back to like the Instagram thing, right? Our perception is so fucked up of like what really matters, right? Like,
yeah.
I've had at one point 130,000 subscribers or followers on Sneaker History. I don't care about those numbers at all, but it was nice to like feel like I was successful in building that. Now it's under 90,000. Like it just continues to fall off. And like I still post occasionally. We still get views on things. I'm not trying to like make it my thing necessarily to like be on that all the time. But, you know, I think about that and I think like 130,000 people or even like 90,000 people, like that's like the biggest football stadium in the fucking country. Like,
no, that's insane.
Like 1,000 people that actually read a Substack post is way more people than I will ever be comfortable standing in front of. Like I've presented to groups of, you know, up to 100 people throughout my career and stuff. And like, even that is like scary. But then like mm-hmm. when I was there, you know, like it just felt comfortable with a bunch of people I've never, you know, like, with a few exceptions, most of the people there I didn't know very well. And there was something just like almost calming in a way that, like, I can't really explain. But if you are around yep. people that get it and understand that, like, you're just nerding out about these, you know, these sneakers, then it's like, oh wow, that's crazy, you know.
It's like an implicit understanding of just like your whole outlook on things. I mean, one day me and Big Mac and Terrence just decided to go for a walk through downtown Portland, and we just splintered off and we just went for this walk, and it was like, you know, there's piss and shit everywhere because it's downtown Portland. It smells like hell. It's hot as hell. But we're just walking around looking at sneakers, you know, and it was just like, it was just, this is what I like to do. My wife, she loses patience when I'm doing that. My kids, they start fighting. They get bored while we're doing that. But like, this is just what we do. And it's relaxing. It's invigorating. It's implicit. An implicit understanding about what makes us tick. And that's, I think, was just kind of the coolest part, because I don't think I've really met more than a handful of people throughout my life that I've hung out with in person like that. And so when you look at the scale of Instagram, right, I'm sitting here bitching that I got 17,000 followers or whatever over however many years. That's more people than fit in the Warriors stadium. Right. I've been to Oakland Coliseum, and you're legit telling me that I got more people than are all sitting in all these fucking chairs right here, and I'm upset about that? Like, what do I want? What do I want?
Yeah.
You know? Like, yep. But all of that to say, like, I don't think I would have got there without those 17,000 people. You know what I mean? Like, would I have even been, would I have even surfaced to that conversation if people didn't at least kind of resonate with what I was trying to say or post or do whatever on Instagram.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing to think about. I even taking that thought a little bit further too, like, this is going to be a little too in the weeds for a lot of people that are listening for a minute, but I promise I'll get back to where I'm headed with this. You and I have talked about what Raman and I were thinking about doing with Neon, right? And kind of the idea of, like, people being a conduit to something bigger than that, not necessarily bigger than who they are, because I think that people are just inherently valuable anyway, right? It's more like, you know, this idea of, like, you never really know where those connections come from, right? And like, you see somebody online and we're programmed to think, oh, JT has 17,000, probably somebody that I should follow because I'm into sneakers. Oh, you know, Jacques Slade has this many, probably should follow him. Like, but like, then you have people that, like, maybe didn't commit to Instagram as early, or just don't, you know, like, it wasn't as much of a focus for them. And then you realize, oh, this person has, you know, 300 followers or 150 followers. And it's like, but then you're starting to have great conversation with people that, you know, that have that number doesn't matter. And so, like, the idea that I have for all of this is, like, we never really know what that conduit is. And specifically in my, like, journey with sneakers, I remember, like, this is probably like 10 years ago now, but Matt Welty wrote a piece for Complex basically saying that, you know, like, athletes will always be necessary to sell sneakers. And this is before Kanye was, you know, racist and all of his shit. So I was like, I'll write the counterpiece to that once I saw it. And I reached out and, like, to the team over there and was like, you know, I don't think that I'm saying this that as, like, I'm a sports guy. Like, I'm not saying this because I like this idea of people being able to just use social and, you know, growth and all of this stuff. But, like, I will take that position in this story because I do think that it's true that, like, the you know, the people that build those followings can ultimately, you know, kind of get to a tipping point and outgrow what they really are what we think is possible at that time. So I wrote this thing and I'm like, you know, I use Kanye and Kim Kardashian as kind of the example, right? Like he had just signed with Adidas at that time. I don't think his shoes were out yet, but I was like, look, there's like accounts with like, that are just like fan accounts for the Kardashians that are like millions on all platforms. And this is before Twitter is, you know, as insane as it is now. You could still get some good traction on stuff on Twitter and like have good conversation. So like it wasn't even right when the story came out, but like probably months later, I like posted it and was basically like, you know, like here's the gist of the story. You know, I think that like the collective of all the Kardashians, all the fan accounts, all the Kanye fans, the Virgils, that, you know, like Don C, all of his people around him, they all support each other. And so that to me is always going to be like something that if you get the right formula of people, which I thought they had, then they could outgrow what Michael Jordan is going to sell on his own, not being on social media. I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm just saying that it's a thing. So I wrote this piece, I put it out on Twitter, and this like conduit effect of people, which I am constantly thinking about, Kim Kardashian retweets my post. And I'm like, okay, this is fucking crazy. Cause like one, like at the time I was single and like, I'm like, why not? You know, like, you know, but like, then I like go down the rabbit hole. I'm like, who the fuck retweeted my post that got it in front of her? Because she's not just going to see it because I'm posting it. Although Complex, I don't even think Complex had retweeted it at that time. But like I ended up going down and like looking through like the mutuals and all this stuff. And it took me a while. But like I found this like one account that was like a weird fan account that was like, I don't even remember what the name of the account is now. It was like, yeah, I don't remember, but it was a picture of Kanye on the account, and it was clearly like a fan account. It's like one of those accounts that's like, you know, following 20,000 people and has 30,000 followers, and like Kim followed that account. So it's the only person that I could think that like, oh, that person, I went through, I saw that person retweeted me.
Got it.
And it got in front of her. But like, that's such an interesting thing, right? Where we never know what that is and who that is. And like, it's not always good to get that attention, but the gathering, the meetup in Portland, whatever they're calling it, you know, like that is like the perfect example of how it works on the good side, where it's like, yeah, like you just end up getting a bunch of people and there's this energy around it. And like people are talking and like next thing you know, like somebody's in front of somebody and somebody's reaching out and somebody's reaching out. Cause it's like you said, it's impossible to like talk to everybody. It's impossible to like, you know, really take in 17,000 people following. But like when it works, it's like, fuck, that's like the beauty of it, you know? And that's like the one thing that I think about with like, you know, Substack and newsletters and stuff like that. Cause like, I personally don't, I'm not the type of person that's like, I'm going to forward a newsletter to somebody, right? Like I don't keep in touch with people through email. So on Substack, I've been trying to be more active with their notes thing, which is kind of like a Twitter feed thing. But again, I'm also not trying to spend time because I'm thinking about all the other, you know, your story about spending some, or your post about spending so much time on Instagram that you just did this week, right? Or last week is like, I think about that and I'm like, yeah, I don't want to spend too much time on any of these things, but I do like want to engage and talk to people because you get those one or two people that you meet and then you're like, oh shit, this person is, you know, like going to, I don't know, like going to Adidas in Germany to check out the, you know, the headquarters. And you're like, wait, what? Like, You have like a you know, the Twitter, you remember the old Twitter bird, the old blue, you know, you don't even have a profile picture. What kind of thing?
Yeah. Well, there's certainly an element of, I don't want to say destiny, but like there's something in there that just, I think Trevor Noah calls it the luck of motion. Right. So when you're actually doing something, you just happen to find yourself in these situations that you never could have been there if you weren't just doing something. And even if you're doing the wrong thing, you still find yourself in these places where you're just like, well, how in the fuck did I get here? This is dope.
Yeah.
You know, like at one point, so I think I was kind of looked at like, maybe this is just my own, maybe I'm just projecting here, but like looking around at all these dudes in the room, I'm like, damn, I'm kind of old, you know? And I'm thinking like, most of these guys don't know who I am. Most of them don't care who I am. Second night is when I brought out the card, the Michael Jordan card. Where is it?
Right here.
So I made the little Michael Jordan card. I thought like this Blazers card, right? I cut up a pair of Jordans and I put Jordan in a Blazers jersey because I went to Portland and I thought everyone would find this interesting. So I made 60 of these cards, and second night I start handing them out, and that's when people like actually started looking me in the eye, you know? And this is what like some of them were actually talking to me now. And it wasn't that they were ignoring me before. Maybe it was just because I was so nervous and I didn't approach them before. But now that I had something to actually approach them with, you know, in my hand, say, hey, I made this. I think you might like this. It's kind of cool. Then people, we start talking a little bit more. And on that second night, I started talking to Ken Black, dude. I had no idea who this guy was before. Do you know who Ken Black is?
No.
So Ken Black, so the first night I get there, I'm talking to this guy, Mike Cartel, who I never met before. But I noticed that we're drinking, and all of a sudden, Mike is gone. And then he's back a few minutes later, and he's wearing a completely different outfit. And it's like, it's basketball shoes and it's basketball shorts and a shirt. And I said, dude, did you just go change your clothes? He goes, fuck yeah, man. I said, what do you mean? He goes, do you see that right there? That's Ken Black. I said, who's Ken Black? He goes, he's the guy who designed all the Nike team sports stuff. And he was wearing all the Nike team sports stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, shit. All right, well. That's cool. That's dope.
Yeah.
But so I clocked him in my head. All right, that's Ken Black. I didn't say anything to him. I didn't say hi. I didn't even go by there. I was still just sitting in the corner. The next night, when I'm handing out cards, I hand him a card. I say, hey, I heard you're Ken Black. Thought you might like this. He looks at the card. He says, this breaks my heart. I said, what? He said, I'll always regret that we passed on Jordan. The Blazers passed on Jordan in favor of Chicago. He said, this is a nice heartbreaker. It's a nice reminder. And we start talking, and you know, we actually ended up talking about just like being parents, being dads.
Yeah.
Which was fucking awesome. Like all the dads I talk to are dads who have kids who my kids know. So talking to somebody who doesn't know my kids, it's a whole different situation. But we start talking. Anyway, I come back to California and he sends me a package and he asked me if I could check out his podcast, which is called The Designesty. And he basically just goes over the early days of working for Nike Team Sports. And now I'm starting to put the all the shit together in my head. Like, and I start remembering about all the things that he had designed that I didn't know that he had designed that had an impact or a lasting memory on my life. And as I'm listening to this podcast, all these memories are just coming back. And then he introduces someone else on the podcast who also designed something that I had like wanted my whole life. Right. So all these little things, they just kind of add up and you're like, Jesus Christ, how did I get here? That I got here because I was talking about what shoes I like. And now I'm talking to the guy who designed the thing that I fought with my best friend when I was 16 years old. I fought with him over this. And then now I just got introduced to the guy who designed the jersey that I wanted my whole life because it has my name on the back and it represents, I mean, it's mind blowing. I actually wrote a Substack about it. It'll come out in a few weeks. I think I wanted to clear it with him, make sure it was good. But, you know, like he introduced me to that guy, Drake Ramberg, who developed the Nike Team Sports football jerseys from 1994, 1995, when I actually lived in Great Britain. And when I lived in Great Britain, I was looking for any piece of home. I saw a Arsenal jersey that had my name on the back, Platt. I've never seen a jersey that had my name on the back of it ever. And it happened to be the one that Drake had. I only learned that he designed this like 3 months ago. I mean, I had wanted that my whole life. I have it, you know, now, but like it was an Arsenal jersey with my name on it. Like,
yeah.
That's dude crazy. Designed that. It's just the connections are just like, you could go around the world with these connections. Fucking unbelievable. It's so dope when you put yourself out there and it just works. Luck of motion.
Yeah, man, that's so cool to hear too. I'm so happy that you got to have that experience and like make those connections. Cause I think that's also like, I don't know if it was the same for you, but coming off of that, it was like, you know, like I've probably sound like a broken record on this podcast, but like even in my work, I tell my team, like the brand doesn't matter. And I know that that is like a painful thing for some people to hear, mm-hmm. but like the people actually matter, right? Like the, you know, at the end of the day, the money might change the title on your business card, the name on your desk, the logo on your hat or whatever. But if you care about the people that you're working with and the things you're doing, you're always going to be okay. You'll be able to talk through things. You'll be able to figure things out. And when I came out of that event and came back home, I was just like, it was like the perfect reminder of like why I cared about this shit to begin with, you know, like, you know, like, yeah, I love the product. I love the design stuff, the marketing. Like I get super into a lot of different aspects of sneakers, but the thing I love the most about it is when I get to talk to dudes like you or like my brother or like those moments where like you're kind of like just that where you just can't believe this is real life. Because it wasn't real life when we were younger, when we started getting into this shit, like at all. Yeah. Like you had no access to, you know, maybe people in Portland might have had a little access to people at Nike, you know, but like as like somebody who moved around a lot as a kid, didn't really maintain friendships through like high school or, you know, like grade school, middle school and much of high school. Like, you know, I moved a ton. I went to 13 schools, K through 12. And I went to the same high school for 4 years. So that's how much I was bouncing around. So like, I don't have, you know, and I don't think that I would have friends from back then anyway now, but I never even had ways to like really connect with people beyond, you know, a half of a year of school or a year of school. And then I'd be on to the next thing. So the good thing of that is like, I can pretty much have a conversation with anybody, you know, like, and just be like, yeah, I gotta get myself in here and have a conversation. But not to be preachy on this show, but like what you did with the cards is exactly what I used to do when I was working for sales, doing sales for like AT&T and stuff back in the day. Like that icebreaker, man, you get something that people actually give a shit about. And all of a sudden, like you're talking to them about things that don't matter, but that's how you actually, you know, connect, you know, like, and if sales are involved, then so be it. If you're just like, yo, I'm going to send you a jersey. I'm going to, you know, go home and make a new set of cards based on this conversation. Like that's the thing that I think like the people and the movement that happens was so fucking poignant for me coming out of that, because I was coming off of like, you know, obviously like the boom of like StockX, the boom of people buying and all the crazy prices of like pandemic, you know, people are like, I got a $600 check from the government. I'm going to buy a $5,000 pair of shoes. Cool. Like what? Like, you know, it just never made sense to me. And then losing the work and like, you know, right before that, the grandparents and like, you know, like this year, my mom or last year, my mom, like it was just like this constant cascading thing. But that was like the one bright spot in the last 2.5 years of my life that I was like reminded of like why I'd love this, and really a jumping off point, because I started, you know, thinking about how do I get back to the thing that I love about this, which is the writing part of it is always the funnest part for me, because I can't turn off my brain. Like I have so many ideas that like even like this morning, I wake up around 5 a.m. almost every morning. I woke up this morning, I go like in the bathroom, come back in. My girl is like kind of half awake, half asleep still. And I'm like, I've got this crazy idea for her to like, you know, tell a story or make some content or whatever. And like, it's 5 a.m, you know, like she's like, go back to sleep, patting me on the head, you know, like just like get out of here. Like I'm trying to sleep, you know, but like that's, it's like it's like not healthy probably, but
I think that's actually
it can
the best,
be when
the
I
best
go down
time.
The rabbit hole with sneakers.
I think that's the best time to come up with ideas, like for real. Like your my brain does that too, man. Like 3 a.m, I'll just like wake up and I'll just have something and I'll be like, that's actually, let me think about this later. I mean, I think that's where all the self-consciousness, it's gone, all of the like all the fluff, all the noise of the world is gone, and you're just like, this is actually like a solid idea. Let me see where I can take this. So I'm good with that.
Well, and that's where like it's been dope seeing you, especially like it's not my style, but I was just telling someone else like about their Substack. I love your like continuation of stories on Substack. Like I can't do that because like my brain is like, here's all the stuff, organize it, the way you want to say the story and tell it and like be done with it and move on to the next one. But the way you're like take people on a journey with your, you know, with your newsletters is like, I admire that so much because it's something that I wish I was better at and wish I could do more of. But that's also like I'm up early writing, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of times. And that's where like the thing that's really interesting to kind of wrap up this conversation and talk about that, like your Instagram, the idea around Instagram and like, what are we really doing here? I've like been really lucky to get to do as much as I have, you know, like I don't take any of the shit for granted. It's been such a crazy ride. There's been plenty of ups and plenty of downs, but like as a kid who could never afford sneakers to be able to do all the things and have, you know, hundreds of shoes, like it's surreal to me still to this day. Like, but in the last 4 months of like being serious about Substack, like I've gotten more compliments and more like real feedback and real conversations with people around sneakers than I have in the 20 years that I've like literally worked for these brands and gone and done the events and been the face of the company at Complex Con and all these things. Like the amount of just like genuine like interest and like curiosity and support and encouragement from this like, you know, few months out is like way beyond anything I've ever experienced. And like my name was on like crazy popular places, like millions of people saw my name on things, but like it was always like superficial, or it always felt that way in a lot of ways, which is really cool. And I think hopefully where like just as society, to your point, like I think Instagram is broken. I think all the social platforms are broken. You know, you said it, like with Substack, even if you're not on the app, at least you can, you know, you can send directly to the people and they can see what you want to see, what they want to see. They can say, I want to read JT's stuff. They sign up, they get the emails. No other place even does that. You know, like I can't even really get notifications about anything, you know, maybe YouTube uploads or something, but like Instagram's too busy, too many things going on. Everything is lost. Every other thing is an ad. And it's just like, it's crazy that it took all this time for me to one, be committed and two, like put it out there because I talk myself out of all of it, you know, like, I mean, even like, you know, and I, like you and I have had those conversations about your card sets where it's like, you know, it's so people don't realize how much work goes into like putting things together like that for you to crank out even 60 for this event. That's a heavy lift, man. Like you're doing it on your own. You know, it's not like you're like, hey, I got this team's going to take care of this, you know, thing. It's like, no, you wanted to make the thing that you see and the vision that you had. And that's like, it's just crazy that like, you know, I think, and maybe it's just an age thing too, like feel like I'm finding my people in a way that I haven't in a long ass time.
Well, that maybe I'll just kind of leave you with this. You're from Sacramento. I'm from Northern California. I saw something on Instagram the other day that pretty much encapsulated my whole experience with Instagram and why I actually wanted it to kind of move more to Substack. And it was a really popular sneaker account from the other side of the country posted about Steph Curry wearing the Chris Webber Dadas. I don't know if you saw this post.
I didn't see it.
But he basically said, this really popular account basically said, let's be real, Dadas were never it. And
that's the worst take ever.
Well, I took umbrage with it immediately. I was like, look, dog, just because you're not from where we're from, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, right? And I respect him. I think he's a great dude. I love his account. I love the stuff he posts. But he came back, and we kind of went back and forth, and I was like, look, man, I grew up in Northern California. The Dada Webbers were definitely a thing. And I don't give a shit if you didn't see it. We fucking saw it, right? And not only did we see it, people who weren't into sneakers finally had something to talk to people who were into sneakers about. Right? I had people who knew nothing about sneakers or didn't give a shit about sneakers would talk to me about the Dadas. That is a thing. I don't give a shit where you're from. If your aunt, who's 80 years old, is talking to you about a pair of sneakers, that's a fucking thing. And you know, we kind of agreed to disagree. And I was noticing other people chimed in on our conversation saying, yeah, who are you? What kind of authority are you to say that Dada's weren't a thing in Sacramento at the time or Northern California at the time? And what it made me realize is that Instagram is really good at fast. It's really good at hot takes. It's really good at flattening culture. And it's really good at the arcs, right? It gives you a general arc because, yes, the Dadas were not a thing for 98% of the country. But that 2%, I represent that 2%, right? You represent that 2%. We yep. cannot let that shit be forgotten. We cannot let that shit be forgotten, right? And that's why I love that Steph, I mean, like, huge Steph Curry fan. I got my Warrior shirt on. Huge Steph Curry fan. Like, he didn't forget, or his team didn't forget, right? We yeah. can't just let this stuff, because the general narrative says that it wasn't a thing, can't just let that shit go. So, yeah, I wrote an article about that for Substack. I wrote a long-ass article for that about Substack, because that is what is important to me at this time. I'm no longer interested in just following the arc of where sneaker culture is going or where sneaker culture has been. I'm interested in writing those stories that no one really gave a shit about, but we remember and it mattered to us. It's yeah. like, it's like Bobito. Bobito, I take all my cues from Bobito, who's really, in my opinion, like the godfather of shit, who just pinpointed everything for everyone and never really, like, he didn't judge any of it. He just said, this is what the fact was, right? I thought garbage. I thought Jordan 1s were garbage, right? That's what he said.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Yes, like, so did I, right? Like, there's a whole mess of us out there who remember, who don't get amplified on Instagram for remembering. We get amplified on Instagram for agreeing with everybody else. That's what we get amplified for. So Substack, to me, I like what you're building. I've a lot of the stuff that you're writing is stuff that I had no fucking idea about. I've been reading every single article, which is, it's a lot of articles, right? But no, it's good. It's stuff that I had no idea about. So I hope that you are successful in building a community on Substack, because I feel like this is the only place where we can get, like, real, honest, memory-driven, nostalgia-driven, historical-driven stuff that just isn't going to be forgotten or flattened out.
Yeah, man. Well, I appreciate that. And likewise, it's been nice to see your stuff over there. I think that's the other thing, too, is, like I said before we started recording, like, I just don't, I'm not spending time on Instagram, but when I do, I don't see things that I want to see. Like, I have to go, I have to, you know, it's like, if I want to see 20 people's things, I've got to type in those 20 people and go to their pages. Yeah. And I get like four or five people into it, or I look at my DMs that I haven't responded to. And I'm like, the anxiety starts hitting and I'm just like, I got to put the phone down and like walk away from this. And I've had a couple of people suggest that I use like a desktop or laptop or whatever, but I'm just like, if it's that much work for me to like just feel like I'm participating in a normal way, then mm-hmm. this just isn't going to function for me no matter what anyway. And you know, I think that's like part of like figuring out what that looks like on Substack too is really kind of fun for me to like figure out how I can like use the business experience that I have, like use the nostalgia, like the stories, obviously we'll figure out ways to work together on there too, because I feel like, I'm not even going to say it because I don't want somebody else to try to do it, but like I have some ideas for you and I, because we have so many similar experiences and like passions within this, that we could put together some things that would be, very definitive for people, where they could come and like learn about the things, the Dadas being a great example of like just how it's also like a place where I think we can all learn from the people that had those experiences from other places, right? Like people that haven't moved away from their hometowns don't mm-hmm. get to think about that. The fact that like, Dadas were huge, man. They sold out when they first came out. Like that is, it's ridiculous. Like I can't even fathom that in today's world, but like that also happens in so many other places in nuanced ways that we don't get to know because, mm-hmm. Instagram is like, well, the latest release or the buzzworthy thing. And like, without like Steph Curry and his team, like there's no conversation about nostalgia or just like, even like, I get that there's a lot of people like within the PDX gathering that like that are constantly putting these things out there. But I also am afraid that like because we're all in the same group, we all see the same thing, mm-hmm. and we don't get, I want to get this stuff to people that don't care about sneakers or people that work in the industry that don't know the stories behind shoes. Like, and I'm not the one that I'm not, you know, I don't think any of us as individuals are the voice of it all. But I think collectively, if we're all committed to telling these stories, standing up for the things that we remember and believe in, then like the future of this becomes so much better for everyone. Even if you don't buy sneakers, at least you get to hear those stories. You get to pass it down, mm-hmm. pass it around. Somebody's going to get to do, you know, a movie on shoes that they never thought they would get to do. Somebody's going to get to do a book on shoes. Like, you know, somebody's going to get the experience that you got where you get that jersey that you saw when you were younger. And it's mm-hmm. like all those things happen because I think we or could happen because we could build something that's a little bit more free from like the crazed algorithm that exists on all the social platforms yeah. right now. So I'm hoping that that's where we could head with it and get a bunch more people involved. And, you know, yeah, man, I mean, it's just it's a wild time beyond that. But I think like that's been like almost like a little bit relaxing for me to like think like, well, at least there's a possibility here, you know, like mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I don't mm-hmm. feel possibility anywhere else right now. So but maybe I'm also the old man yelling at the cloud again. So
it's good. I mean, overall, like there's a book by Chuck Klosterman. He talks about what happens with history just in general, right? Like in 500 years, who are we going to say the rap star was, right? In 500 years, yeah. the rap star, without a doubt, in my mind, is going to be Snoop Dogg. He's going to be the guy that they talk about 500 years from now. And you forget all the through lines throughout that. You forget the Biggies. You forget the Tupacs. You forget everyone. Snoop is the definitive rapper. In 500 years, same thing is going to happen with sneakers, right? But while we're here, we kind of got to, I feel like we have a responsibility to almost fight it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. Yeah, I guess I need to talk more about Tupac then if Snoop is going to be the, nothing against Snoop, but he's gotten a little crazy his old unk age.
He's always been kind of crazy, but yeah. I mean, as far as all like pop culture is concerned, memory, everything, Snoop is just, I wouldn't say that I think it's accurate. He's clearly not the best. He's clearly not, you know, but he is
absolutely entertaining though. Yeah. 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 Yep. Well, man, it's been awesome to chat with you. People can connect with you. Let people know where they can connect with you on social or on the Substack.
At the Sneaker Savant on Instagram, which I still post, even though it makes me feel bad posting, or the sneakersavant.substack.com, or I got a whole bunch of new stuff coming. I was telling Nick earlier, but I haven't really broken it out yet, but I got a pretty fun little app I've been building, which will surface on my website, sneakersavant.com. But if you just Google me, you'll see all kinds of crap out there.
Talk about it, but are you still doing the grading and stuff?
Sort of. I've noticed okay. that there's a lot of, there's limitations to it. I've done, like, I actually went to StockX this past year. That was also one of those things where we kind of talked about the different types of grading and yeah. authentication methods. And I don't know, it has its holes. I mean, I don't know.
Fair enough. All right. Well, make sure you connect with JT, the Sneaker Savant, everywhere.
Thanks for having me, Nick.
Yeah, man. Thanks for jumping on with me. Long overdue. It's been too long. Appreciate everybody rocking with us, listening, tuning in. Leave us a review if you haven't. We're trying to get up a little bit, get up above that 200 mark. So thanks for watching, listening. Peace. Hey, Nick here again. Before you take off, I want to thank you for listening to the Sneaker History Podcast. If you want more insights into the sneaker world, I've started a newsletter called the Sneaker Newsletter to share my knowledge of over two decades experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link below or go to thesneakernewsletter.com. Last but not least, tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a simple compliment can take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Thank you for all the support, and we will catch you on the next episode. Peace.